I'd like to consider this afternoon the thought of a witness. I'd like to begin in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter. Acts chapter 7, and to read here just a portion of this message that was being preached here. Stephen was preaching unto a people who proved to be a stiff-necked and a hard-hearted people. Stoned him, took his life because of the truth of the words that he spoke. Says that they were cut to their hearts. I'd like for us to read here let's start with verse 7 and 42. It says, "And God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." Stephen, beginning with what should have been a starting point for all of them, the history of the Jewish nation, of God's people, and how God worked with them down throughout time, and walked them through the history of God's dealings with his people up to the present day and the place that they were in. And so he is talking here of the times that God's people forsook him. It says, verse 44, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. However, howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest?" But I'd like to notice particularly the 44th verse. I'm talking about God and his dealings with his people and how he led them through the wilderness. He called them, he made of them a nation where they had been no nation. They had been a scattering of people, of slaves and of servants. God made of them a nation that the other nations of the world feared and trembled. Remember Gibeon and the men of Gibeon as they came seeking a treaty because they feared the people. Well, what was it that made them fear the people? It wasn't the people. God said, "I haven't chosen you because you're more in number, because you're mightier, you're stronger," or anything like that. Nothing of your own doings. And so it's always been with God's people. It's never because God, the quality of God's people is never because that's just the quality of people that he found to work with. That's just the caliber of people that he went out to reach. That's never been what's made the quality of God's people. It's been what God has done. And it says here in verse 44, what I'd like to notice is what it called the tabernacle. This isn't the first time it's referenced. You can read it in the Old Testament, Leviticus, Exodus. It's called either the tabernacle of the testimony or of the witness, both meaning essentially the same thing. The tabernacle of witness. You know, it's one thing, and it would be one thing, for the children of Israel to have come up out of Egypt to say, "We're on a mission. We are God's chosen people. We don't deserve to still be here. We've got a destiny, we've got a calling, and we're off to strike out on our own. We are God's elect and God's people, and there's nobody that can stand before us." You know, that'd be one thing and maybe cause someone to take a little bit of notice, but it wouldn't be very long before that was put to the test. You know, words are not enough. Words aren't going to cut it. Our own testimony of ourselves isn't going to cut it. What I think and my opinion of myself's not going to be enough. What's important is to have God's witness upon my life. Paul said it's not he that commendeth himself. That's not who's justified. That's not who's God's child. He that says, well, I believe I'm okay. I believe that I'm in the place that I need to be. But it's the Lord that commends. It's God who said, it's God that puts the sanction. It was God who, whenever they built the tabernacle according to the pattern that God gave, speaking unto Moses, has said that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Whenever he did all those things that the Lord commanded, here's the size and all those things of the characteristics that we know of the tabernacle. You do all these things, and then he did that, and the Lord did what? The Lord bore witness to it, didn't he? He came down and he showed himself that my blessing and my approval is on what you've just done. And there was something there that man could not have produced. Man's words, had they come before the inhabitants of the land, and let me tell you about our God, it wouldn't have been the same as God bearing witness. I'd like for the Lord to bear witness to my life. I want the Lord to be able to say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And the Lord is able, remember whenever Elijah was on the top of the mountain and there were all these skeptics and all these critics and all these unbelieving heathens and even the people of God who had started falling away after this, the worship of Baal, as they were standing there looking on a man who claimed to be a man of God. Again, it's one thing to claim to be, and it's another thing for the Lord to bear witness to it. It's another thing for me to be able to get my prayers through. Whenever Elijah prayed unto a simple little prayer unto the Lord and finished his prayer and fire fell down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, no more words were needed. The Lord had borne witness right there. This is my way. This is my servant. I'm bearing witness to the words that he's just said. So it calls it a tabernacle of witness. The Lord witnessed to them there of his presence. The Lord gave his law and it was stored, it was kept there. The Lord bore witness of that before the people. They were able to see it in their day as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That bore witness. The presence of the Lord is in this place. I'm thankful that the Lord is still desiring to bear witness in our lives, amongst us as a people, that it's got to be something more in the face of an unbelieving world that's hearing so much and that whose faith is faltering all around, and so many church groups and ideas, as we heard this morning, so many different philosophies, and it's going to take more than us just saying we are the church of God. It's going to take more than us saying, well, we kind of descended from D.S. Warner. You know, we're kind of the true rootstock below D.S. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than a claim to something that I bring about or that I say or well, we've been in, I know not this building, but we've been in such and such building for so many years, but we need the Lord to bear witness in our assemblies, in our midst, in our singing, in our prayers, that we can have power with God in the preaching of his word, that the Lord will bear witness to it, that it be more than just the emptiness of words. A witness. Reminded of something that Jesus said in John chapter 5. When I think about what a witness is, the law said, in the mouth of two or three shall every word be established. That was the basis of justice under the old law. If there was somebody that was accused, if your ox came up missing and you believe that your neighbor took it, it's not enough to go before the tribunal or to go before the judge or to go before the people and say, I make my case here. I'm pretty sure my neighbor is the one that took my ox. That's not justice enough. That's not enough to just bear witness. And we read even one of the commandments was, thou shalt not bear false witness. The Lord looked very seriously upon the importance and the weight that our witness, that our word would bear. But he said, it's not enough just your own witness or your own word. He said, she said situation. But you come and you bring two or three witnesses. Those that saw the act, those that know what happened, you come and their word will bear weight whenever it comes to deciding the fate of somebody. You know, it's something whenever you think about our judicial system in our nation, our effort to ensure fairness and justice is met. You know, it's not enough, again, and even in our setting, for somebody to come and say, he did this, or they did that. But there's got to be some evidence that's presented. There's got to be something that backs up the words that are spoken. Something that gives weight to what you're saying. More than just, here's what I think, or even here's what I saw. But there need to be some key witnesses. As you're going to try somebody and determine the guilt or the innocence of somebody, there need to be some witnesses on the witness stand that the judge can examine, that the jurors can examine and cross-examine and listen to the testimony that is given of those who were there. Let's read John chapter 5. John 5 and 30, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father, which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness of the truth. Jesus wasn't saying that I'm dishonest. You can't trust what I'm saying. But Jesus knew the law. Jesus knew the law that they were under, and that a man's word in and of itself doesn't carry all that much weight. But whenever it's borne witness to, whenever there's another that can corroborate it, that can say, yes, that's true. There's truth to that. It bears more weight to it. Jesus saying, of course, it's not in the majority or the consensus of man that bears weight to that. But there was a voice in heaven that said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I'm bearing witness to the things that he is saying. He also, by signs and wonders, bore witness to the words and the works that Jesus was saying, so that they might believe, so that they might know that the Father had sent him. It was important for him to be able to have a witness that was born of the words that he was saying. Mike, for us to look now at Acts chapter 1 and see where we fit in here. Acts, the first chapter. Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's a responsibility now that's put on us. Ye shall be my witnesses. Well, Lord, how can I be your witness? The scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. Every man can stand and say something contrary and it doesn't change the truth of who God is. Lord, how do you need me? What weight can my voice lend to this? It's not about convincing the Lord. The Lord knows who he is, but it's about convincing a skeptical and an unbelieving world. It's about bearing witness to them and before them of the truth of God's word, of his character, of his nature, of who he said that he is. Bearing witness to that. Ye shall be my witnesses. I'm going back now unto the Father, but I'm leaving you here, not alone, not as orphans, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to go with you. He said, whenever you're brought before magistrates and rulers and all that, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say in that hour, because it'll be given to you what you'll say. He'll bear witness unto you, and you're going to bear witness unto me. And he talked about some of the hard things that they were going to go through, some of the trials and the tribulations and persecutions that they were going to face. But he told them in one place, I believe in Luke, he says, this too shall turn for a testimony unto you. This test that you're about to go through, the Lord's going to turn this to be a testimony. The testimony and witness are similar or basically the same. To give testimony unto, or to bear witness unto, that by our lives, that people are looking on, We have a responsibility and a charge. Be a witness unto the Lord. And so I think about it this afternoon, frame it maybe this way for us. In terms of a great trial that's underway, the arguments have been laid out. It's a closed canon. There's no more to be added to it, and there's nothing that can be taken away from it. Jesus came, He was the author and the finisher, He completed the work, and He ascended back up unto the Father, and unto all those who will believe, He'll receive and make His children. But He charged the people, He charged His disciples, you go out now and bear witness to the words that I've spoken. You know, it's one thing when you're selling something. Maybe I go around and I knock on somebody's door. I've got something I want to sell you. I've got this product, say, that's supposed to take stains out of your clothes. And I'm going to try to sell it. Well, I've never tried it myself. I've never tried it personally. I did hear from somebody else that they said it's, all right, that's not going to carry as much of a weight, is it? A witness is one whose word is trustworthy. A witness is one who was there. It's one who has tasted and experienced for themselves. Or, I was there when it happened. I saw exactly what happened, officer. I was standing right there, and they came from this direction, and this happened, and I saw it all with my own eyes. I want to ask you, what kind of testimony would this be if you're standing on the witness stand before the judge? Well, Your Honor, you see, it's this way. I work with somebody who's got a cousin, and this cousin's neighbor said that they heard from somebody else's nephew who said that they saw or they heard, and so that's how I know it's so, Your Honor. You think a testimony like that's going to bear a lot of weight? You know, I don't believe it's going to with the world either, whenever we're trying to convince them of the truth. To say, well, here's what I heard secondhand. Here's what I heard somebody else say. Well, here's what the saints teach. Well, here's what I've been taught. What that is may be truth. But the judge isn't going to listen to that testimony for very long. Were you there? Well, no, I wasn't. Did you see it with your own eyes? Well, no, Your Honor. Next. Want to call the next witness to the stand. Because to be an effectual witness, I've got to have tasted for myself. 1 Peter 2, verse 3 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone disallowed, I'm sorry, one up. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted? You know, that's how the Lord wants to sell this salvation. How He wants to convince a people who have not tasted yet for themselves. It's not going to be enough for me to say, well, I've heard that it's good, but I need to be able to have tasted for myself that the Lord is good. And whenever I can say for myself, some of you know we bought some peaches here recently. I love a good peach. And you know, whenever I can say I've tasted of these peaches, oh, it's good. Not just to say, well, peaches are good, I like peaches. Here, why don't you try? I don't know if these are any good or not, but why don't you try this? But whenever I can tell you I've tasted of it, or maybe you see the juice coming down my chin and you hear, oh, this is good. There's something about that. I want us to get a picture of our responsibility to this world, that the Lord has called us unto something. I want you to be my witnesses. My testimony, commerce today has changed from what it was 100 years ago. Many people today are shopping online. Well, if you shop online, you can see a picture, but it's just not quite the same. People want to be able to read some reviews. They want to be able to see how many stars have people voted this. How have they rated this product? Now, I can tell you, I don't buy products that have one star. I'm very hesitant to buy products that have no ratings or no reviews. I don't know. I'm taking a risk here. I don't know if I want to try that. But the Lord wants us to be able to taste of it. Companies realize the value of this so that they'll even, some of them, send free products to people. You try this and go out and put a review online. Or go out and rate this so that others can see your rating as somebody who has tried it for themselves. Maybe a video of it or something saying, here's what it did for me. Here's the difference that it made for me. There's a weight to that. There's a value for that. Oh, does the Lord really need us? Whenever I think about the God that inhabits eternity and yet He has designed it and set it up so that He does depend upon human instruments, jars of clay. He is depending upon us in our time and in our day to be His witnesses unto this world. Think about the man, read about it in John chapter 9. Won't read all the story. It's a man that was blind from birth. Disciples were puzzled by that and asked Jesus, did this man do something or was it his parents' fault? Well, that wasn't the way the Lord was looking at it. He said that I've had a plan in this. This is to be able to show the glory of God through this man's life, using my own words. And so He healed, made clay, anointed his eyes. He healed him and opened the man's eyes. Sounded like it was a man that maybe didn't have a whole lot of understanding on things of theology and of debating the law and those sorts of things. But there was something that he knew. He knew that all his life he had been blind. Can you imagine all your life being blind? We can shut our eyes and we can walk around and try to imagine what it's like walking around without being able to see. But if I have never been able to see from the day I've been born, how do I know when you explain to me the benches in here are red? How do I know what red is? How do I know what a tree looks like? How do I know what the color of the sky? If I've never experienced it, I've never tasted of it, it's hard for me to really grasp. You know, our world is blinded. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should come unto them. They're not able to really understand. They look at this and they see a yoke that's hard and grievous and hard to bear. And there's no, surely you can't enjoy a life like that. Surely you, how, they can't see. And I may try to tell them. I may try to share some scriptures with them and those sorts of things. But a heart that's not regenerated, that's not born again, or honest and coming towards the light that the Lord is able to work with, is not going to be able to see it. But you know what this man did? The Pharisees looking on that and, boy, we got to do something about this. This is going to hurt our cause here. Jesus just opened his eyes, and so they begin trying to naysay it and trying to question the man. And, well, now, were you really blind? Were you really blind from birth? And even went and questioned his parents and they said, he's an adult, ask him. And so they already were of a conclusion, the Pharisees, what they wanted to believe. Verse 24 of John 9. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. It's going to be hard to take that away from him. I don't know why you're even arguing about this over here. I don't understand, and I can't deliberate all these things with you, but here's one thing I know. I didn't know what a tree looked like yesterday, and I'm looking at one right now. I've never seen you before, and I'm watching you right now, and I've never been able to do that. And I came in, I had an encounter with a man named Jesus, and I'll leave the rest with you. Folks, the world many times has so many answers. They have so, and religious people especially, many of them are set in their dogmas and their ideas and their doctrines, and there may be a place for us to have a dialogue with them. I believe that the Lord wants us to have discernment to know a word fitly spoken to them and to be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. But we're going to have to realize as a witness of the Lord, there's something that's going to bear more power than anything else to those people that's going to carry more of a weight to it than any theology that I can share, any doctrine that I can give, any words that I can speak, to say, here's what the church teaches. Well, we don't believe, here's the way that we believe. There's going to be something that bears more witness to it than that. As a key witness to this world, it is for me to be able to say, here's what God did for me. Here's what the Lord did in my life. Here's how the Lord's been dealing with me. Let me tell you about some bitterness that I had in my heart that the Lord's taken away and that the Lord's given me victory over. Oh, you come in contact with somebody that's filled with hatred and bitterness. And, you know, I used to be there too. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. I love the ones that hate me now. Let me tell you what Jesus has done. That's something that I may not be able to stand. I don't have a doctorate in divinity, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, but here's what I know. Here's what Jesus has done for me. And folks, it's something that is missing in a shallow world today. That'll bear weight to it. That'll carry. I think about the early morning church. Read about it in Revelation. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The testimony that they brought forth even in the midst of their trials and their persecutions, those times where words fail us if we don't really have the essence and the substance, where words aren't enough, but whenever in the heat of the trial, whenever the fires, flames were starting to kindle and the grace of God was there, oh, what a testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. But they made it personal for themselves. They availed themselves of the blood of the Lamb. They availed themselves of the grace of God in the midst of their trial and their suffering. And by it, they were able to preach a message louder than any of the theologians of their day. And it'll be the same for us today. Lord, help us to be key witnesses to this world around us.
To a world that many times, perhaps they themselves are blind. For me to be able to have something more than just words. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, resurrection, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is our faith in vain. It all hinged on that morning. The resurrection, or what we often call Easter morning, it all hinged on that. The fact that there's something still living. There's something that didn't die in that grave. Our Savior is not still buried. You're not going to find His bones. The story did not say the end on that Friday whenever He was crucified. But the fact that He was raised again triumphant from the grave and that He still lives on. You know, that was key to the whole message of the gospel. It's what makes it different than every other religion in the world who has their religious leaders that have risen up and have gained a following after them, and then they die and they pass off the scene. We don't follow a dead letter. We don't follow a dead religion. But we follow a risen Savior. And we read whenever Jesus rose from the dead that He appeared unto many. Believe it. It seemed like it gave a number. Unto hundreds. He appeared unto many, many people after they had seen Him hanging on the cross. Eyewitnesses. They were eyewitnesses. I was there that day when they hung Him on the cross. I saw them pierce His side. I saw them take Him down from the cross, lifeless and dead. But let me tell you what else I saw 3 days later. I was walking down the road to Emmaus, and I didn't know who He was at the time, but let me tell you what I felt burning in my heart. Let me tell you what happened to me. And then my eyes were open and I saw Him for myself. The same one that had been hanging there on a cross, but He rose again. Folks, there's power to a witness. And not only in the mouth of two or three, every word should be established. And you get together now a couple hundred folks that are saying, I was there and I saw it. And their testimony lives on to this day. As authority and as backing to the Word of God. You know, the Lord wants us to be a witness like that of the resurrection. To be able to say, a resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I was dead, but now I've been raised from the dead state of sin and I live again. witnesses. And you know, it's, we'll turn and read. You can look at Luke chapter 1. Luke was an interesting character in the Bible. Was one who was didn't spend his days following Jesus, but he encountered Jesus nonetheless in such a powerful conversion experience. And he wrote a gospel and he wrote Acts, and he was one who was a historian. He was one who was very determined. If you read his writings, don't want to just take hearsay. You know how easy it is for legends to be born? Whenever somebody famous, or you hear something about somebody and some feat that they did, you pass that off to enough people and it's easy for that to be blown out of proportion, isn't it? It's easy for that to start until you get far enough down the road and the story doesn't even really resemble what the real thing that really happened was. And Luke was very determined that that's not what the gospel was. There were many of those, the Gnostics of their day, that had very fantastical stories about when Jesus rose from the dead and he grew as large as the sky. And I don't remember some of the stories they told, but some of the things that they wrote that they saw that Luke knew, they're not of God. That's not true. I want to get the truth of this. I don't want a secondhand account. I don't want somebody that says, here's what I heard, or here's what somebody else told me. But Luke would go and he said that you might know of a certainty those things that we have most surely believed among us, because we who were eyewitnesses unto his glory, we saw for ourselves. There's weight to that kind of witness. An eyewitness. The Lord is calling for nothing less from us today, that we would be eyewitnesses. I wasn't there when he hung on the cross, but I can be an eyewitness of the resurrection that's happened in here. I can be an eyewitness of what that death on the cross and resurrection has done for me. Again, it's not enough for us in our day to say, here's what I've heard. Here's what the church has taught. Folks, it is so important. The doctrines of the Word of God, so important for us to understand those and to get a hold of those. It's not enough for me to just recite by memory or to recite because I've always heard it, but to be able to have something deeper than that. I've studied it for myself. I see it for myself. And here's what the Lord has done for me. There are plenty of folks that can talk a religious talk. That's not what a real witness is. A real witness is, as the song we sing says, let a holy life tell a gospel story. And I don't believe that's a cop out for us to never be willing to speak for the Lord. I'm just gonna live my life. There are times the Lord wants us with boldness and with authority. By the guidance of His Holy Spirit, it's time to speak. It's time to take a stand. It's time to stand up for this. But there's gotta be something backing it up. Remember, I'll close with this story. The story of Daniel and the Hebrew children. Whenever they came before the king, taken into captivity in Babylon, into a foreign land, and said, you're going to have to change your diet now. It's not going to work for you. You're going to stand before the king. You're going to have to eat the king's meat. The problem was that conflicted with what their beliefs, what the law that they had been given was. And you know, I don't see in their conduct something rising up within them. We're not going to do it. Something like that. How dare you? Making a scene and a commotion and all of that. There's a carnal way that we can go about defending the gospel. But instead, I see something here that was a calm, resolute steadfastness. Oh, no, we can't do that. But here, let me offer this to you. Let us eat what our God approves of. And then give us a little while. You don't just take my word for it. Don't just trust my word as the authority. See for yourself. Put it to the test for yourself. And then see after a span of time, and you make the judgment then. Can we say that to people? Don't take my word for it. Look at my life. Paul was willing to say that unto the churches. You've known my manner of conversation and my conduct and all. I'm an open book before you. Can we say that to the world? You look on me. But that's what they did.
And they set about to eat what the Lord had approved of. And again, as we started, the Lord bore witness to that. The Lord will testify for us if we're willing to testify for Him. And the Lord testified for them, made them fairer to look upon than anyone else who was eating all the king's meat. The Lord stood by them, and the Lord bore witness to that in an undeniable way, that they could show those that were around, there's something to this. God has shown His approval here. It's something that I can't conjure up, something that I can't demand, that I can't reproduce, that I can't really counterfeit. But whenever I conduct myself in a way that the Lord can say, well done, the Lord's able to give His blessing and His backing to that. And it'll give a testimony to this world, a world that's looking on, many times scoffing, many times perhaps shaking their head or showing no outward interest. And yet, we never know what's happening in here and what's happening with the heart. Those that the Lord is dealing with, those that are maybe struggling, and maybe outwardly they're resisting and they're kicking against the pricks and those sorts of things, and yet they're looking on our lives, taking notice. May the Lord help us to be witnesses. There are so many witnesses that have gone before us who have tasted of it and by their lives have said, I found it to be so. I've read within the Bible and I have believed it. I've read it, I've lived it, and it's worked for me. What a weight and an authority that goes with that. They are so numerous that have gone before us. The scripture calls them in Hebrews 12 a cloud of witnesses. There is a great cloud of witnesses who are able to stand and to bear witness or to give testimony unto the power of our God, His saving, keeping grace to give witness in whatever trial that I might go in. I too face something like that, and I found the grace of God to help me. There's a witness to it. There's somebody that can stand up and bear. Yes, that's true. It's true. I have to say, I'm an eyewitness of it. It's true. And I believe the Lord is still today adding to that cloud. Lord, help us to be part of that cloud, that we be a living witness to this world around us. You pray for me. Amen.